Hi, this is the PNB Finance Committee meeting. This is Dave Adelson speaking. I'm acting as Chair Pro Tem. Casey McFaul is our secretary. Can you take the role, Casey?
Yes. Adelson?
Here.
Adelson's here. Allen? Allen absent. Bediako?
Here.
Bediako here. Heffley?
Here.
Heffley here. McFaul is here. Roberts? Roberts absent. Tattersall?
Here.
Tattersall here. Gatewood?
Here.
Gatewood here. Weinman?
Here.
Weinman here. Williams?
Here.
Williams here. Hicks?
Here.
Hicks is here. We have quorum.
Okay, great. Unfortunately, and I apologize for this, I am in my car and not at my computer, so I do not have the agenda in front of me. So I'd like to request, if the group would be willing to accept it, that we deal with the financials first, and in the 10 minutes it takes to do that, I will be able to get to my desk and see the full agenda.
No objection here.
Would that be acceptable? Okay, then actually let us start with first Lonnie's comments on the financials, and then we can go over a review of the financials. Would that be all right?
Sure.
Okay, Lonnie?
Ready to go. These are the financials for April, and basically this is a truncated version. It doesn't have all the comments and some of the other things that I would do for the quarterlies. But there's also a companion CFO report, which tries to highlight certain aspects of the financials and bring certain items to the fore so that people don't have to dig them out. One of the impacts on the financials are coming from two or three different areas. And since these were published, new information is coming in. So I'm going to do a very short version of the financials, and then if people want to go to more detail. And I want to talk about the three major impacts on where we'll end up in the fiscal year, which is how I generally start. I start with the big areas that will impact our financial status and then go to detail. The first one I mentioned is WBAI. As some of you may know, they finished their drive with a revenue picture of about $709,000. Goal was $1.1 million. That is an issue and a concern in traveling to New York to meet with our interim general manager. She's new, as you all know, in the general manager's position, and talking with some of the other staff there. There was also a union meeting that I had gone to participate in, although I couldn't. The bottom line is that the station will show a deficit in August as they make plans for another revenue drive. But the current plan is to have a 10-day drive in July and raise $220,000 or so, which would be roughly half of what they need, and they would be able to manage through the end of September that scenario. They would probably maybe even look at some events in September, which they have plans to do, to round out their fiscal year. That said, they still will have serious financial issues to deal with, and Indra and her folks are coming up with a plan here with you, Baruti, and the Finance Committee around their best thinking about what has to get done. So that's impactful of WBAI, and it's impactful, of course, for the network as a whole. The second area is KPFA. KPFA has worked hard on looking at its budget forecast for this fiscal in terms of bringing the budget in as close to the guidelines that we've set out for them. And I think last month they were looking at maybe 600,000 of savings. That number has gone down by 300,000 in the last month. Plus management and treasurer there have gotten together, and the business manager to look at where expenses can be reduced. And they are, that projection is reflected in the financials down in that cash and capital section, where you can see where if a station needs to dip into their savings, that's where that number shows up, and you can see it on the financials. The third of concern of the third area that impacts the budget is WPFW, as it looks to relocate its facilities. They have an option to stay where they are, but they have been talking to real estate people about moving into a 9,000 square foot space. In talking with the agent, real estate agent, just to get some preliminary figures and the cost for remodeling and moving any radio station is very expensive, of course. And for them, that figure can be anywhere from $400,000 to $700,000. And their lease is up, I think, in October. So the time frame is fairly short. Question is, where would those funds come from? Answer, a couple of possible sources. Still a large sum of money, and that is difficult. Answer, what are the options? Options are to stay where they are on the grounds that moving might be expensive, to plan it over several years, extend the lease, etc. Second option would be to model that proposed space because it is less expensive where they are, and amortize the cost of remodeling over 5-6 years. They're looking for a 10-year lease minimum in the new space. And then have the landlord pay for some of the remodeling costs, but there won't be much of that $5,000 to $7,000 that the landlord will. They could do a capital campaign, perhaps go on the air, and look for finance the move. Bottom line is $6.50 a foot as opposed to the $12 a foot thing now. But if you add in utilities and some other costs, that new space might reach somewhere around $8, $9, or $10 a square foot. Okay, so WBAI looking for cash is another area of concern. With large dollars. KPFT, they too have been working hard, and right now their plan to raise bets, I think, is a sound plan. But it comes in September, and that's sort of toward the end of the fiscal. But from the best information I have, I put it into for people to see. So that is on the national office. We have have a mail drop that we did 3 months ago that is still providing some funds for us, and see what my projections are for the national office. Sum up. Some stations not have the 1 month reserve and will solve the problem by dipping into prior years. And this committee will have to decide about what around that, issue a waiver, make sure that whatever the issues were this year, the next year. But those are the facts so far. So I'll stop there if the large picture. Are we on track?
Who's wrestling stuff?
Are we on track to get close to our 1 month in terms of the network as a whole, where we would be 137,000 off that pace latest forecast. Lastly,
what is that as a percentage, Lonnie? Is that like 10%?
Very small, very small. 10% of our $16 million would be, of course, $6 million. So you're talking about, you know, 1/10 of 1%. That's
no,
fairly close.
In terms of what the aggregate 1 month would be, $130,000, is that about 10% of the... Does that put us at 90% of 1 month for the network as a whole?
Closer than 99%.
This is Lauren. I'm sorry. What was the percentage you were asking about? The percentage that we're off in terms of the net income over expenses?
Yeah, we were
about 9%.
Yeah,
137 over the budget is 1.6. We're off by a tenth. That's about 9%.
Yeah, 9% in the set, but are we talking about almost $16 million? How far are we off?
Oh, you were talking about income. I thought Dave was talking about
the question related
excess.
To Lonnie was saying we would fall short of 1 month reserves for the network as a whole by that amount, and I wanted to know what that amount was as a percent of what 1 month for the network as a whole would be.
Okay.
And our 1 month reserve is at $1.5 million or so. Yeah.
Okay, so it's less than
10%. Right, exactly.
So that is how it looks this month. And I caution that if there's a drive that goes badly, that would change next month. The only other station I'm aware of that is in starting drive is KPFK, and they are doing quite well in these initial few days. All right, so last
Maggie on the set.
Yeah, Baruti, and who else would like to go? Okay, we'll start with you, Baruti. I have some comments after or questions after that. So go ahead.
I only wanted to add that when Indra came to our local station board finance committee meeting, she had indicated that because normally we do have a summer fund drive, and her thinking was that she would push that up. I think it's normally held in August.
Yes.
And her thinking was that that would be pushed up into July. To better assess where we would be or what cuts or how much the cuts would be that would have to be made. One of the other things that came up at the and I mentioned at our finance committee meeting was that if we could do something in the way of improving fulfillment from prior drives, one of the projects that we've been discussing is having people call people who made pledges in prior drives but haven't fulfilled those pledges. So if we can get them to fulfill those pledges, that could go towards closing the gap. So I just wanted to footnote those two Lonnie's comments.
Yeah, I'll just add that their fulfillment rate from the last drive is 78%.
Wow, that's great.
Good, awfully good. So somebody's worked hard on that issue because it was an issue how to get their fulfillment rate up. They have gotten good response.
Lonnie, I have a couple of questions. One is the planning that's going on at WBAI right now, how does that relate to the recovery plan that you guys had said had been in place for some time and would be implemented? What is the role of that? And then the other question is, as these adjustments get made, what is the role or the dynamic between the local finance committee, their local board in terms of approving whatever changes are made, this committee and the national board?
Well, I think it'll go pretty much like it was last time. Where we are now at WBAI is there. She's crafting that plan to test it to see what the expense cutbacks would have to be to bring the budget in on time in September. It could bring the goal could be to bring the budget in on time with 1 month, or the budget could be to bring the budgeted on time with a half a month, or maybe not. So once she finishes that, and we will be finishing it this week, I was there last week, she will produce a tentative plan. Now, a lot of that is confidential to the extent it involves staff reductions. It may not. I stress, it may not. But it would be very much like we did the recovery plan a year and a half ago at WBAI. That is, we would We would do what the union contract requires. We would start talks with them, and the contract calls for us to take input from them on what they think. They would maybe offer some suggestions. We would go through that process. Once that process is complete, a new budget would be created, and it would go to finance, and it would go to their local finance committee as well as what? Preferably to the local finance committee, so they would be fully involved in what it is going to take to balance the budget this fiscal. Talking about this fiscal. And then it comes to us via the planning process from the local board, very much like we would do any budget. Comes up from the LSBs, that LSB would have a chance to look over the productions. Then it comes to us in finance, and then that would be what we would look at in terms of WBAI finishing off this fiscal year and in what kind of shape. And they may present a budget with 1 full month, a half a month, or no month, or maybe a deficit. Remains to be seen. That also would impact FY06, because if this year, some of the impacts for this year would carry over into next year in terms of what you would feel comfortable budgeting for revenue, in terms of what staff you may be working with. So things are up in the air that way.
Okay. Is there any, just a comment, it sounds like the process you've described is really the process we would use for any mid-year budget more generally. So I've never seen that anywhere as a formal process we want to think about establishing that way in the future.
I hear you, Dave. There's a lot of wrestling.
I'm sorry. I was saying that the process you described sounds like the way we would do any mid-year budget adjustments, and although I've never actually seen it written down anywhere as a formal process, and at some point we may just want to formalize that. It seems a reasonable way to do it. But are there any other comments on the report, or do we want to go now to considering the numbers in detail?
This is Sandy. I'd like to make a quick comment or ask Lonnie a question.
I'll be off the call for about a minute as I go through a dead spot in cell phone coverage. Go ahead.
Lonnie, you just described a situation that seems to me to be dire from one point of view, and that is trend. My biggest fear with these type of things is that, hey, maybe the sky isn't falling, but we're certainly not pulling in enough money to sustain what we have. And your comment, which you went over pretty quickly about what if we have another drive that doesn't work well, is there a tertiary plan here, a stopgap somewhere?
When we did this last year, we had two plans. One of them called for minimum staff reductions, and the other one called for more serious and deep staff cuts. So we did have two plans, and they're still in place and still relevant at WBAI. We went and talked to the staff about it. We went to the unions and talked about it. It hasn't really changed. What they have achieved over the last year is last year their expenses were $300,000 a month. They've gotten that down to about $255,000 a month. And then there are all kinds of ways in which one could proceed if we're looking to reduce expense, everything from furloughs to summer furloughs for certain staff, to cuts across the board, 10% pay for everyone, 5% for everyone. So there are lots of choices to be made in how reductions and ought to go to be fair and equitable. There are issues around the union contract has a layoff scenario, which has to be considered. So, it will be a situation which is very difficult for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. That satisfies my curiosity for the present.
Oh, yeah, there's a plan A, and there's a plan B, and there is a plan C.
Okay. None of that's very pleasant.
None of it is, and I wouldn't want to go in deep, but that it's there.
Okay.
Lonnie,
this is Casey. I'm just, when you're talking about Plan A, Plan B, is there a time frame? I know that you said we're looking at another drive in July and then things happening in September, but is there kind of a, you know, what's the drop-dead date when you have to start doing the not-so-pleasant stuff?
Well, in order for a drive to occur in July, third week in July, of course, you wouldn't use the first week. You wouldn't want to do the second. But the third week, somewhere between the 13th and the 23rd, is the dates for the proposed drive. But the planning for that obviously has to occur now. And they're starting now to come up with a plan for that July 5th. Either they will have that plan in place and have confidence in it, or they won't. And we should know by the end of next week, say Friday, whether or not Indra's plan around bringing certain people together to do the planning for the drive and to make sure that premiums are ordered, to make sure that that it's feasible. If by Friday that plan is not in place and people, you know, don't say, folks don't have confidence in it, then that's trigger point number one. That is, if there's no plan, there will be no revenue. If there's no revenue, we're in crisis. We're in double serious mode.
Not good shape.
Right. That will be the first point a week from today. But if they, when I get back with them, so we take that as a trigger point and say, cannot bring the plan together.
Are other people hearing Lonnie cut in and out, or is that just me?
It's the same. I'm having the same problem.
I'm only getting a third of your sentence, Lonnie. Could you repeat what you said?
I was saying that the question was, at what point do you act in this scenario? And my response was that a week from today is that we're setting a date where her plan for that July drive, very crucial because August will have a deficit without a July drive. Either that plan will be in place and people have confidence in it, or it won't. If it does not, then we're into action mode. And that, you know.
What does that mean?
It means start to implement and go to the union to notify them of pending layoffs and look at what the other non-staff expenses would be. We'd first go to non-staff expenses first.
But I thought that the budget that we approved already had those at a stark minimum.
This will be more.
Okay. Anything else? Do other people...
I'm just
wondering, a question about the PFW thing when we're done with this. Go ahead.
It's Casey. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, I'm assuming there are costs associated with layoffs as well, so that's all being included in there?
Yeah, there are costs associated with layoffs. Now, if you lay people off, you have to pay out vacation. You have to pay out any accumulated benefits for those individuals.
Right.
Yes, we did figure those costs. There are alternatives to incurring those costs. You can spread them out over time. You can do furloughs, which don't involve those costs. So there are...
No slushies allowed on the call.
But, yeah, a lot of that has been looked at, Casey. It's not cost-free, and it takes time to accumulate savings, even in a layoff scenario.
This is Patty.
Go ahead, Patty.
Go ahead.
No, this is. I just have a question about WBAI in the. There was information that Marnie shared with us that's been published. Some concerns about some financial irregularities at WBAI, and I agree with. What Marnie sent out, which is that we need to get a clear response if there are, you know, the information that's been published. We as committee members need to know if there's any truth to the financial irregularities that were alluded to, and I don't know how that can get fashioned into this meeting or some other meeting, but I didn't want to let that drop since it was brought up at our meeting about a month ago.
Is that a question for me?
Well, no, not exactly a question. I'm saying that I think that we should be informed somehow. I don't know if it should be some response at this meeting or just simply ask for some kind of official response to those charges, just so that we know, so we understand what the status is.
And I recall, this is Marnie, that I was told, and rightfully so, that if any conversation would be had in executive session, and I concur with that comment.
Yeah, and if you would like to, we can go to executive session at the end of this meeting to consider that, if it's agreeable to everybody. Would you like to request that?
If there's time. I think there was something else that we talked about having an executive session. I don't recall what it was, but I mean, I don't think it needs it. It's been going on for a little while, and I don't think that there's a great deal of urgency. But I do think that we should know. We should inform ourselves.
Okay.
And so, if there's time, I think we should do it in some fashion.
This is Casey. I remember that the last meeting, what we talked about going into executive session had to do with an outstanding legal bill, which I don't believe is information that should be discussed in executive session. I do think that if you're talking about financial improprieties and we're going to talk about specific things, that does need to be there. An executive session was announced publicly that there would be one at the end of this meeting, and that information could be discussed there, but I don't believe outstanding bills our private information.
So if there's time at the end, I don't want to press it anymore. I just wanted to bring it up. I didn't want to let it get lost because I think it is important.
We will come to that at the end before we go. And the question, if there is time, really, we did not set a deadline for the duration of this meeting, but we'll do that in a few minutes. I'm now at my computer. I'm getting together all the items that we have, and again, my apologies for that. Are there any other discussion points on Lonnie's report?
Patty here.
Go ahead, Patty.
All right. Just a little update here. So far this year, we've fundraised 76 days, and the average was in this over the last 12 days of the fundraise was the last 12 days only $231,000 was pledged in 12 days. That's an average of like $19,300 a day. So these are diminishing returns when we continue these extended fund drives, which this one lasted 25 days. This is not the first time we've had to extend a fund drive. We've been extending fundraisers for a few years now, and most of them have been extended, and most have not reached their goal. I thought that there was a real contingency plan that Lonnie was actually supposed to write up and have that we were supposed to be able to look at if something went wrong. And clearly, 76 days, and we still have to raise, again, some more money this year, makes me wonder, is there a contingent? Did you make that contingency plan? Was there supposed to be an actual one that we were supposed to, if we weren't doing well, that it was ready to go, but now we're waiting for it to be made? I'm kind of confused.
Well, I think 8 months ago, the plan that we developed a year ago was requested by this committee. I sent it out, PowerPoint presentation. It does contain the contingency plan. I can send it again without names and or positions. So the contingency plan is there for these kinds of contingencies. Will it get implemented? Our conditions, under what timetable? I think I've spoken to. Timetable is a week. And management team there will be able to plan and feel comfortable about a plan to do something in 10 days, or they won't. So they understand the problem. They understand the issue.
I'm sorry. Didn't they send someone from the national office, Phil Osegator, someone to help raise the income or something as a development person? And did that reap any benefits at all?
Well, yeah, Phil went, you know, the fulfillment rate went up to 78%, so that apparently was great.
And is that, did he have, what changed, what he did to change that?
Well, basically, it was a case of watching the premiums, so you don't have, you know, hundreds of premiums, watching the price you pay for those premiums, and also getting invoices out quickly. Following through when people do not redeem their pledges. All of that paid off. Apparently, the numbers speak for themselves. But I think, Fatty, though, that in cases like this, I think that it's very important for the people directly impacted to have an opportunity to look at the problem and the situation and come up with their plan and then be able to act so that everyone understands what's happening, what's at stake. And they understand that problem. And in a week, like I said, they're under the gun. Yes, the days at WBI have gone on for 20, 25 days. That's true. That's the problem, but the issue right now is the solution. And the ones that are on the table is the cost structure for the station, and the other one is to look at how the board might get involved to support the station, how the friends of WBAI, once they have the information about where things stand, what can people do to help? Reductions are just the first step, because you then have to look at underlying causes. Why are pledges down? Audience going down. So you got a number of things. You know, you're doing an audience analysis, do a program analysis. Expense cuts are just on tip iceberg. And out of the process, you want ideas. How can the station be turned around is the issue on the table.
So are those analyses already, I'm sorry to interrupt, already in process? I mean, if this has been going on a while, it seems that those need to start now.
You know, it's that those kinds of analyses, yes, they're needed for every station at Pacifica, because we all are living in a period where listener support is flat, where there's pressure from the outside, the CPB. Every station needs that analysis. How can you hold on to the audience you have or grow it? What is the mix of your current audience as it might need to be reflected in programming? What is the sustainable financial staffing pattern that the station have in order to sustain and not have to live from drive to drive and always in jeopardy, you know, of a layoff? Those are issues every station not only has to face, but many of our stations do. Even the ones that are doing well are one drive away from these very issues that we're bringing up at WBAI. So I think that strategically this board and the finance committee needs to, you know, answer some really, really, really big questions that I mentioned in my CFO report, Dallas, that all those large issues that will make the difference for Pacifica in the next 56 years. Our audience is aging. We are not recruiting and replacing that audience. We need an outreach strategy, community, all the stuff that's there we presented at the last couple of board meetings. Now we're down to where it's happening. It's happening where stations can suddenly lose a portion of their audience. Audiences now have more choices. They can iPod, they can listen to the radio on their PC, or, you know, more choices for listeners. But we have to respond.
Who is that?
It was Baruti. I had two
other
questions.
Go ahead, Baruti, and then I'd like to say something.
Okay. Lonnie, have you and Indra worked out what the goal is going to be for this mini drive? And then the second thing is, you had also mentioned about a determination as to whether the plan for the drive is viable. and how is that going to work in terms of who's going to make that decision as to whether or not it's viable or not?
That's a good question. On the first question, the goal would be $225,000 to $250 net. I know in the summer drives that WI has done, WBAI has done, I think they've raised to $300,000, $350,000. So this is like doing a summer drive early and maybe doing it in two parts.
But can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
When you say the $250 net, so you're saying the goal is to 78% of the goal should be $250,000, because if, you know, I'm assuming a collection rate of 78%.
Yeah, yes, I do. They have to work that out, but
okay.
You're right. They have to decide whether they're going to go for the gross or go for the net.
Right.
They have, and that depends on how many expenses they can cut in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
That'll tell them how much they got raised.
Okay.
Second question about the viability of the plan. Their plan is to bring together a team at WBAI, which Andrea feels hasn't really been tried before, in the sense that people sometimes don't talk to one another, could be brought together to say we have a serious problem here, and have everybody work on that plan, at least agree to take on responsibility or given portions of it. Simple things like getting board members, volunteers in to answer the calls, answer the phones. Been a problem at WBAI. I heard about that problem again when I was there. Not having people follow through. And when the drive is on, as opposed to helping, they all disappear. So it falls on, you know, a smaller and smaller number to actually sit and answer those phones. So things like that, she is hoping she can break through and get more support once people understand that if you don't pitch in now, it hurts the station. They're in a situation where they really need that help.
Now, this is Patty.
Yeah, I'd like to say something, and then I'll come back to you, unless it's a continuation of what you said. Did you get cut off, Patty, before?
No, I didn't. I was going to respond to the mini drives, summer drives.
Let me just make a point, which is Lonnie brought up what I think is the biggest and toughest problem, which is the question of overall staffing pattern. And that's related to the strategy of, you know, how we do production. And he mentioned the changes and choices that people have available, the move to MP3 and digital audio distribution. And we really do need to tackle it, because we're caught between two production models, the community radio production model, primarily volunteer-based, and the public radio model, which is based on paid staff to produce programming, and then you have to build up a large distribution base to be able to afford the number of people, the resource demands for the, quote, public radio model of the sort that Minnesota Public Radio and NPR do. It's really different. They're fundamentally different staffing patterns, and we've got a mixture of both with no real coherent plan about how to balance resource allocation between the two. The problem is that when you start to talk about it, you're treading on people's jobs and their prerogatives. So it's the easiest thing in the world to just keep it at arm's length, say, hey, we'll deal with it here, and there's a set of interests. If we don't figure out a way to get the people who are nervous about that discussion involved in it and actually address it, we're going to find ourselves continually backed into corners like this. And, you know, we can probably figure out a way as an institution to invest wisely in a way that gets us to a different place, but not if we don't have that sort of coherent and explicit strategy. And so I tried to raise this as something the National Board needs to deal with, given the transition of the executive director and all of the demands that that's placing on it. It's difficult, and it's not something that can be dictated from, you know, the board level down. We've got to start having the conversation. So, you know, I would hope that the local finance committees could start addressing the question of staffing pattern expense. How much money goes into how many hours of your programming versus in the one model versus the other? Are there more intelligent ways to do it? One of the things that we're dealing with in Los Angeles now is we're in the happy position of having a surplus, and we want to start investing that surplus in trainers and people who support a much broader range of people who are contributing, so we can make use of that. And I think that's a real important thing to do. But I'd like to hear from people whether and how they think they can actually engage that so that we're not 6-9 months down the line with the same platitudes saying that, well, we need to deal with this. You know, I would like each local finance committee to take this on, look at staffing pattern, work with management, and actually engage the people who are paid staff at the station and find out what kind of things do you think need to be done and would make sense. I'd just like a little feedback on that before we continue with this discussion from the treasurers, if that's possible.
It's Jane, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Is there any movement on the national level for hiring a human resources director?
Yeah, I'll answer that. We've prioritized that. It was in the budget for this year. It got delayed, and it's agreed that as part of the transition plan, in this transition period, that's one of our absolute priorities, and maybe Lonnie can tell us about the status of that posting and that process.
Well, Dave, you know, we don't have agreement on the transition plan. It was not, as far as I know, approved by the board. That would be, you know, the first thing I'd mention. The second thing is that with the developments at WBAI and the rest of it, that has repercussions across everybody's budget, including the national office's budget. I have, you know, resumes in-house, but affordability is now back on the table as an issue. Can it be? It's very, very scary business to pick up, you know, another $60,000 in salary unless you're sure the funds are going to be there.
Well, let me... I mean...
I would like to talk to that after, Jane. It's morning.
Okay.
The questions that...
And then, Patty, I still have you when we come back to the other. Go ahead, Jane.
I mean, the questions we're talking about now, I would think that a human resources person would be able to help. I mean, I would hope that they'd be qualified to help us discuss it intelligently, and so that we don't have 20 people in 5 cities trying to reinvent the wheel without any kind of expert help. I feel that I would not want to ask our LSV to move through these discussions without some sort of guidance, and I think that I would hope that a human resources person for Pacifica would have those skills and knowledge to share with us. And second of all, I mean, I feel that there are so many problems that are trickling down because of the lack of that person. And I think that if that person is in the budget, that the transition plan does not have to be approved in order to move forward with that. I mean, that's my opinion, is that I agree with what Lonnie said. You need to have confidence, but at the same time, if we don't have them, if we don't have that person, and a really good person at that, I feel like we're going to be floundering through all of these issues.
Marnie, but before Marnie goes, I just want to clarify with you, Jane, that what I'm talking about is a question, a philosophical question, a strategic plan about how you do radio.
Right.
What's your model as radio? And that is not something that a human resources person, particularly not somebody with just generic human resources skill, is going to be able to advise on. Once you decide what your overall production model is, then you can deal with that as a human resources question. But that's a board level question, and it relates to how people conceive of the mission. But anyhow, Marty.
Let me respond
okay.
to that. Is
Go ahead.
That what I'm suggesting is that I would hope that a specific human resources person would not be your typical person, that they would be somebody who would be able to look at that very question that you've raised.
Arnie?
I can't thank Jane enough for saying what you said. Right on, sister. Thank you very much. All I want to add is that it is penny wise and pound foolish for the national office not to have an HR person. I know from personal experience at KPFA that we have just had to pay for at least 2 months worth of salary for someone if they had existed at national that we wouldn't have had to pay at the local level. And I do think it is absolutely critical, and it is not acceptable not to go ahead and hire a human resource person.
Well, let me ask a question on that. When we approved this year's budget, that was in there, and I was never entirely clear how the hiring of that position got deferred. What is people's feeling about the role of this committee in possibly raising that point and to the National Board? I know the National Board has been discussing this question and that hire as a priority, but, you know, Lonnie's talking about the financial impact. So there's a question of how does that financial impact get analyzed and who ultimately implements that decision.
Oh, let me try to answer my thinking on it, at least. HR position is absolutely essential. My God, I certainly could use the support of an HR person. But the proviso that I'm working from is balancing off the HR position against the one-month proviso, that is, being financially solvent at the national office level. Fortunately, that does, I take the proviso to be number one for the national offices, as well as for stations. Now, the board discussed taking on and hiring an HR person. I moved forward and advertised for an HR person. I have resumes coming in. Process already, but what I am saying is that that was an anticipation that the transition plan or parts of it would be agreed to. Well, we aren't there yet. It hasn't happened, but I am prepared to move ahead with a hire as soon as I can get clarity on the you know, that part. You know, if we want to separate out the HR position from that transition plan, fine. But also, I'm as CFO, my job is to make sure that that it's what we have is going to be affordable. I think that some of the stuff that you know, I'm sure if the board says we need to do it, we do it. I'm just giving my opinion as CFO, but I do think that some of the things that we were discussing are strategic, and a trainer is appropriate, and I could see where those funds could be well spent. Having people look at their station seriously in terms of what model works best. I think that is money well spent. And we should do it. We should know what is the best way we should be organized as a radio station in each one of our markets, such as to maximize impact. And that is very valuable input, very valuable discussion, and I think someone to lead that discussion would be very useful to participate.
Further comment on this point, or should I go back to the stack with Patty on the prior point?
I have a comment on HR.
I do too. This is Casey.
Okay, this is Lavorne.
So Casey,
I'd like to speak.
Okay, so let's hear first from people we haven't heard from. So Casey, Lavorne, I heard Baruti, and who else said something? Was that everybody? Casey, Baruti, and Lavorne?
And Marnie wanted to.
Okay, Casey, Baruti, Lavorne, Marnie. And go ahead, Casey.
Thank you. I guess I'm a little bit confused at this point because I can recall quite clearly one of our meetings in which we talked about the fact that an HR director was already budgeted. They were budgeted from January 1st, and that at one of our meetings there was some discussion about the fact that that person had not yet been hired and why. And then that confusion turned into something that had to do with a national program director, which had not been approved. But I don't understand how this has anything to do with the transition team. If the position was budgeted, it was approved, and it should have been hired 6 months ago, and having an HR person in our environment would do nothing but save us money in the long run. All the way around. I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet. And, you know, I understand, Dave, what you're saying, that the HR person is a completely different thing from what you were talking about, and I agree. We do need to talk about philosophy at the local level and try to bring that all together into one, you know, one somewhat clarified goal for how we're going to operate, but that's totally different from an HR person. And it just doesn't make sense to me why that person isn't there and why they haven't been hired and what the holdup is. I certainly am not anyone who would say that you should go ahead and spend money recklessly, but I think it's extremely reckless not to have that person on.
Baruti.
Well, one quick comment on the HR person. I'm in support of it. If, you know, if it's been approved and the funds are there, I think we should move on it. The other thing in terms of assessing what type of operational format we're going to follow, I would hope that, I know it's too late for the budget for next year, but maybe we could consider looking at laying out the budget in sort of a different way, in a little more functional way, because the way we have our budgets now, the salaries are all in one area, but you don't know how much of the salaries are programmatic. I mean, how much of them are development, how much of the salaries are, let me see, what are these other categories?
Or how much go into any given project.
Right, into any given project. So you really, it's kind of hard to compare station to station or what other organizations are doing from a functional point of view if you don't know how much of your salaries are administrative, how much of them are, like I said, programmatic, how much of them are for development and so forth. So, and I know, like I said, I know it's too late to change the format for next year, but I would like to see the salaries basically allocated, salaries and fringes allocated across these various categories of development, programming, and administrative. Similarly, with the consultants, so you get a better picture as to what your costs are for programming, what your costs are for development, because this way you don't have a complete picture because, let's say, your PD salary is not even part of programming expenses. So I don't think we're getting the best picture of what it's costing us to do the various things that we do. Like I said, I know it's too late for this year, but maybe that's something that the committee can kind of work on in preparation for the 06-07 budget.
Maybe we need a working group.
I don't think it's too late.
Well, I don't know if it is or isn't, but maybe if a working group could form on that question, they could give us a sense of that in the next few months. Would you be interested in doing that?
I'd volunteer for that.
Marnie, how about you?
So do I, if you said Marnie.
Yeah, I did. I
Marnie,
asked whether.
And furthermore, I'm here to say that the information is available now. It's about formatics, and it would be up to us to have a discussion with Lonnie and talk about what are the appropriate formatics, given that this information that we get at a certain level goes out public. And I do understand that certain things need to be kept closer to the vest than others, but the information is available right now. No one would agree with that.
It is. And I think that a working group's a good idea. And I think that the treasurers ought to take the lead because, you know, it's not just getting the information. It's working with the board and the staff around how, once you get the information, what do you do with it? And if you find that you need to look at programming in a different way once you get a sense of the cost, then I think that, you know, we have to look at the whole process as well. So I volunteer to be a member of that working group.
Okay, well, when we're finished with the discussion, let's go ahead and form such a thing, and then that group can get together and set a series of goals and maybe report at the next meeting. The next person was LaVarne.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, a couple of things. Well, a few things. So, you know, I just want to say that I really welcome Lonnie inviting the board in terms of giving input on, you know, things to do to make drives and make, you know, financial, the lister and income successful. Because I think we've talked about a couple of these things. I think the point that David made in terms of production models, you know, volunteer model versus commercial model, and looking at staffing and headcount, and I think that is the reason, particularly KPFA, why headcount has been added. And we're in a position where we're looking at, I think, the number over the last 3 years, there were like 10 to 14 FTEs added, and that we're really not working in terms of the not-for-profit model or public radio in terms of having more volunteers and what we've done at KPFA in terms of staffing around programs and not sharing of skills among the different areas, so that, you know, I think it's very important that we really look at that, and that is a means in terms of how we can go back to a model where we have more volunteers in the Pacifica Foundation, and really working with that and working with in terms of having someone, a specific person responsible for trying to bring volunteers on, and then also looking at, you know, how we're operating so that we have an environment that welcomes volunteers at the station, and that involves a whole range of things, which we can talk about later. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that, you know, in terms of, you were looking at, you said during drives, like with BAI, trying to look at and sharing things there at the station. And I think we've talked about this a number of times, that, you know, how do we share information on successful drives among the stations? And we've really looked at KPFK and how you guys, particularly what you've done with Democracy Now! And during the fund drives, you know, having it on more than like the normal number of times a day in order to bring in, and therefore it is related, that's not the only reason, but one of the reasons in terms of how, where you have shorter fund drives, like 12 days versus, I think Pat had said 25 days for, you know, twice as many days with BAI and still not fulfilling the objective. But I think that when we had talked about that before, I think a number of people had suggested that was micromanaging or something to suggest that that BAI really looked at how many times they were showing Democracy Now!, and that I think that with Andrew there and with new management, I think that that's something that we can just offer the information that, you know, look at the models around the network where the fund drives are really successful, and I really see that KPFK, and maybe talk with the GM there in terms of what she's doing to make those things happen. And the other thing, I just have a question. Maybe we can address this another time. But I was looking at listener support and donations in the latest report, looking at, you know, where we stand in donations versus listener support at the stations. And I see around the network donations are really low. And that I believe, in particular KPFA, and I just have to ask, I can ask it later in terms of lining, if there has been a change in terms of how you account for donations versus listener support, and except for national office where donations are projected to be like over 200% higher than the budget. So we just need to look at, I really need to know, you know, if there has been a change in how donations, or if there's been an accounting change in terms of how you account for donations at the station, because I believe before they were looking at, you know, anything that came in, I think over $500 or so, that was shown as a donation versus listener support, because you would think that the development director has really been working the people who contribute at a higher level and can afford to. So that's just the question, if there has been a change in terms of how you account for donations at the stations versus listener support. Thank you.
Do you want to answer that line before I go to Marnie?
It's complicated. Yeah, let me say that. They're probably trying to clarify what's a major donation, what's a regular donation, what's listener support. Parliament generally want to have budget they're working against, so they like to see it. But CPB doesn't see it quite that way. I look at the donations. That's an issue. Now, with Lois there, and she can probably, LaVarne, give you the details on.
So can I.
Right. And also, you know, I mean, if we look at.
Let me just finish this.
With Chris.
Hold on, Lonnie, you're cutting in and out again. I don't know if it's something with your phone, but that's why people are interrupting you.
Right.
They don't hear that you're not done.
Well, the noise, there's that rustling noise that's cutting me out, I do believe.
Okay.
But anyway, I think that donations, network-wide, I look at from station after station. Donations are down. And that's a serious issue.
Can you just clarify what you mean by a donation at this point? I'm not clear what the... Okay. Is that somebody... How does a donation happen?
Yeah, listener support is one category we use. And that category is predominantly job drive-related, maybe some mail drops, maybe some telethons. And that's generally... sort of what's included in listener support. Donations falls into two categories, but the CPB considers donations and listener support all the same, by the way. But anyway, donations we break out internally and have done so for some time, I guess. Well, you want to know who are major donors, people who donate more than $500, because many times you want to single them out for a special note of thanks. You might want to invite them to... you know, make sense or whatnot. So that's why you see it that way. So when I say made donations, I'm really referring to donations and major donors. as opposed to listener support, even though listener support has people who will give more than $500. But anyway, I look at the level of major donors, people who have traditionally supported us at 500 or more. How is that group doing? Are they donations the same, up or down? And preliminarily, some stations, those major donors are falling away. That is our core support group. You sort of want to pay attention to that.